The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Lila and David Sears are a married couple who are not licensed therapists. The following opinions are their own and should not be taken as medical or psychological counseling advice. Relationships today face more challenges than at many times in recent history. Join married couple Lila and David Sears as they navigate the world of relationships in Empathy Ever After.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome into a brand new episode of Empathy Ever After that is going to get really real. We're getting real. We had decided on this topic before the events of Saturday, July 13th. We had decided on this topic. We've researched it. You know what? Damn it, we're going to do it since we researched it.
Yep. Hey, everybody.
I'm David Sears. That's my lovely and talented wife, Lila Sears.
Hi, everybody.
So we...
I'm sitting here with my therapeutic ice cream because we are going to talk about politics in relationships.
Very much a convenient topic. Topical topic.
Convenient? I don't know if that's the right word, babe.
Let's start off. I'm a moderate leaning conservative.
Yeah. And I'd say you're definitely more moderate than you were when we first got together.
Yeah. Cause I saw how the stuff gets made with your job yeah. and then working in food service industry and seeing a lot of coworkers struggle because there's no social safety net for them. And
right.
I've seen that. So I'm like, we do need to kind of get that going to help people.
Yeah. Seeing poverty really kind of helps you grow that empathy. Desire for, and that desire for a social safety net. I am probably best described as, some of you would call me a bleeding heart liberal. I would call myself a leftist. I'm more like sort of a Scandinavian.
You're not Scandinavian. You're a damn commie.
I'm probably like I'm a democratic socialist. Probably. I'm not actually affiliated with the Democratic Socialist Party, but if I had to put a
Are
label
they even
on myself,
in Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah, there's the Democratic Socialists of Alabama.
Why aren't you a part of that? That seems like something you'd enjoy. Because they all live in Birmingham and Huntsville?
Right, yeah. I mean, there's not a chapter in Walker County.
You could be the founding member.
Yeah, totally.
All right, so Lila and I have researched this article. I did a lot of the research from the statistics, and Lila brought some reasoning and insights into the statistics. Right now, the Pew Research, they do all these polls. They talked about 71% of Democrats said they would not date a Trump voter, while 47% of Republicans wouldn't date a Clinton voter, according to a poll done by Pew Research in 2020.
That was 2020. Yeah.
That was 2020. For some reason, they're kind of avoiding that. It hasn't come up yet in the recent Pew Research.
Well,
or it may be behind the paywall that I can't pay for.
It probably is behind a paywall. More recent research, is going to be behind paywalls, or it's going to be ongoing.
And then a YouGov poll in 2020 shows the breakdown of men and women on if they date politically different partners. And it is quite fascinating to me. How that goes, when you break it down by party, this again was a 2020 poll. Adults, this is all adults. It surveyed 5,462 adults on August 11th, 2020. When it came down on if you were single, how willing, if at all, would you be to date someone with political views that are different from your own? 14% said very willing, 30% said somewhat willing, 23% said not very willing, 16% said not willing at all, and 18% said I don't know at all. Now, when you break it down by gender, males were more of the very willing, surprise, surprise. They were at 18%, while females were at 14%. I'm sorry, 9%. When it comes to somewhat willing, males again, 34%, females 26%. Not very willing, females 26%, males 21%. Not willing at all, females 18%, males 13%. Don't know, males 14%, females 21%. So we saw that women tended to react to more the not very willing or not willing at all compared to the men, because men, let's face it, we're dogs. We want some relationships.
I don't know if that's necessarily the reason, or if politics tend to be higher stakes for people with less privilege as you go. I think that's more of the thing. There was an article by The Hill in 2023 that showed that women tend to make political views a deal breaker when they're dating. I think that's fair, because I think that, politics can show you whether or not someone sees you as an equal. If you're somebody who, if you're a woman, if you're a person of color, if somebody doesn't see you as an equal and they vote accordingly, then, what's the point in, why would you want to date somebody who doesn't see you as an equal?
I disagree with you. I think politics is more where you're brought up. I think more people adapt the politics of their parents. You do have some that rebel, but for the most part, the people, the way they are brought up, will take on the politics of their parents.
And I think that is an excuse.
I think it's real, though. A lot of people do a lot of stuff because of the way they were brought up. Would you think you would be a Democrat had you not brought up in such a staunch Democrat house?
I think that that's true. I think that people do tend to vote in the way that they were brought up. By and large, I think that there are a lot of conservatives out there who are voting the way that they were brought up. They're voting the way they were brought up because they were brought up in maybe evangelical or staunchly Catholic households or whatever, or just very conservative households, whatever. That just is what it is. But at some point, you're expected to grow up and think for yourself.
You are, but not everyone does.
But you should.
You should, but I mean,
you said, do you want to date somebody who didn't?
It depends, because some people don't want to have intellectual relationships.
Well,
they're in it for the physical and emotional relationships.
Well, then I think maybe women are saying, I want to have a total relationship where I can have intellectual parity with somebody, not just a physical and emotional relationship. And we're sorry if we seem a little distracted, because one of our cats has decided he doesn't like this topic and is losing his mind around our living room right now.
He's
going
to jump from the fireplace to one of the Funko Pop shelves. So
stop.
So we've got that going on. I think it does get back to that. Also, because I think a lot of people on the coasts are brought up differently than people in the heartland. I think there's not as much exposure to different cultures in the heartland. Let's face it, Walker County ain't exactly the burgeoning metropolis melting pot. But I think interracially, Walker County would do a lot better than New York City, because a lot of New Yorkers can be isolated with their own kind. That was a complaint about Friends, and it was a complaint on Law and Order. Jack McCoy was dealing with a black defense attorney, and the defense attorney said, Jack, you can go your entire day without seeing a black person.
Having a meaningful interaction with a black person, I believe is how he phrased it. And Jack McCoy was sort of this paragon of 90s liberalism. And he was like taken aback by that at first, because he was like, but then it kind of dawned on him that, oh crap, he's right.
It is. You know? It's more of an issue forced here in
rural Alabama. Rural areas, yeah.
Because there are probably more interracial relationships and interracial children in this area.
by percentage.
By percentage.
Maybe.
And I think part of the problem with political views is I've seen some black Trumpers, and I've seen some guys that absolutely they're black rednecks. They they have the jacked up truck. They got the Florida Georgia line blaring and all that. So, I mean, I think it's part of where you're brought up, and you don't really have an opportunity for the most part, especially with today's economy, to get out of where you're growing up.
Yeah, it's very difficult. People will say, "Well, you can just move," but that's harder than
it is.
That's harder than people make it out to be.
And I think that goes back to some of what the big cities offer. Now, let's face it, a lot of lawyers in New York probably come from Ivy League schools, which for the most part are pretty liberal.
Sure.
But I think the law departments tend to be a little more conservative. I mean, you tend to get more WASPs there. Let's face it. And I think that if you and I were dating right now, would we even be dating?
I don't know.
Exactly. And I think that's part of the problem. You can't just put one entire thing of you can't just write someone off because of their political views. I think you have to try to understand why they think the way they do.
I think that, though, there's and I said this in
your notes
in my notes that, you know, coming at it from the left, it feels very high stakes. You know, we're not choosing not to be with somebody over their stance on the capital gains tax. Okay. Yeah. And when you and I were dating 18 years ago, sure, there was post 9/11, there was, you know, Homeland Security and, you know, the Patriot Act and stuff like that was more of the issues that we were facing at the time. Since then, it's things have changed a lot. But these days, you know, people are choosing not to be with somebody over their stance over whether or not another human being should have the same fundamental rights based on the color of their skin or their sexual orientation or their religious beliefs. And it would be hard for me to be with somebody who doesn't see me as their equal. And there are some men who are, you know, Trump supporters who are Andrew Tate stans.
They are.
Who don't see me as an equal, and they don't see black people as equals, and they don't see LGBTQ people as equals, and they don't see disabled people as equals, and that's not okay. And I wouldn't want to be with that person. It's hard to separate somebody, you know, who will vote for the implementation of those type of policies, the a dehumanizing policy, with anything else about them. And it's a type of crisis mode that we're in now. It's not like it was when we were dating. It's not the same.
The world's not the same.
It's like not it was. The same as it was 18 years ago. It's not the same political climate as it was back then.
My answer to that is I see some of the stuff that troubles Trump supporters is the DEI stuff. And I think we should get rid of that. But I also think we should get rid of the good old boys network, where just because your dad went to Harvard doesn't mean you get into Harvard. You know, I think we really need to go back to a true meritocracy.
And well, there never was a true meritocracy. We would have to establish true meritocracy for that to be a thing, because there never has been that.
You go back to it was the wealthy New England elite that founded Harvard and did all of the Ivy League schools. But I think if you go to a meritocracy with that, I think we're seeing some of that issues with federal agencies. The head of the Secret Service never had any real government security experience. Her experience came from being head of security for Pepsi. And I'm sorry, the Cola Wars aren't as extreme as politics have become. And we're seeing some lapses with normal procedures because we're having to alter we're having to alter standards.
Don't make me talk about corporate America.
No, you can. but I'm saying you're having to alter standards. You're having to readjust physical standards. You're having to readjust the physical and.
Well, and some physical standards aren't necessary.
But if you're in the Army.
Right. I mean, there are some that are. There are some that are good. There are some physical standards that, okay, you want to be able to say, you know, run a mile and a half in this amount of time. Okay. Yeah.
You want your paramedic to be able to lift a 200-pound person. Yeah,
absolutely. Sure. But do you have to be a minimum height of X? Do you have to weigh a maximum amount or minimum amount of X? I mean.
Yes.
Okay. But. Where do those fall, and why are those arbitrary? Have you placed those at an arbitrary place, and is it based on a gender norm, or is it based on actual science?
Well, I would say, for one, the military, generally, you don't want a 350-pound guy.
Well, no.
You don't want a Steve Rogers Super Soldier Serum, you know?
Yeah, but he worked out very well.
Because he had drugs. Try drugs, kids. So he had
Not kids. Adults.
He had performance-enhancing drugs.
So yes.
There you go. But I think you do need to have some standards. Now, I also think you need to have some standards when it comes to positions of authority. I think we've seen the lowering of standards for the police has put us to where we're at right now, which has put a distrust in law enforcement. But part of the problem is they've lowered standards. The pay is so crappy and the hate is so great towards it right now. You can't get good people. You get some, but a lot of guys are people that have power issues and want to be the big swinging dick guy
they want to be the macho guy with a gun and a badge.
Exactly.
And that's not somebody who makes a good cop.
It does not. And I think part of what we're seeing is an implementation of political beliefs, because I think a lot of it's become politicized, and you pointed that out in the article from PBS that we have become more politicized and more politically polarized than other. I don't know what OECD means.
That's okay. Sorry, our cat may have just ended the podcast completely. We don't know. He jumped on the laptop.
He didn't.
Okay.
That's orange cat energy. But anyways,
big orange cat energy. It was from the National Bureau of. We did this research too long ago now. Economic research, maybe?
Comparing to Japan, Australia, Great Britain, Norway, Sweden, Germany, those countries tend to become more unified. We saw this in France, where people put the country over political parties. You had 200-something candidates step down so they could have the unified left, and I forget the other party Macron was a part of, but basically allowed to prevent the fascist party from taking over. Mm-hmm. They put country before that. Mm-hmm. You've seen in Germany the same thing. Mm-hmm. They unified against the far right. Mm-hmm. Great Britain just had a massive swing.
No, the UK, yeah.
I'm sorry. It is the UK because Scotland and Wales and all that's included.
Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Northern Ireland. Some of them still want to be a part of.
Well, we're supposed to have the great unification of Ireland, according to Star Trek.
According to Star Trek canon, we are going to have the United Republic of Ireland. We're also
going to have the Bell Riots coming up in this fall.
I would not be shocked.
If we see Jake Sisko or Benjamin Sisko leading them.
I'm going to be like, wait a minute.
What is Avery Johnson?
Time travel.
What is Avery Johnson?
Time travel.
Avery Johnson. That's the Alabama coach, Avery Brooks.
What is Avery Johnson?
Avery Johnson.
We love him.
Captain Benjamin Sisko.
Yeah. Avery Brooks.
Avery Brooks. What's he doing in San Francisco?
Yeah.
But
But what you're saying, we don't just feel more politically polarized there, that we as a nation have. There is evidence it's borne out by evidence that we have become more politically polarized than other democratized nations. And we have become more polarized in the last 20 to 30 years. than these other economically developed nations. Mm-hmm. And it's they are becoming more unified. Some of them are becoming more unified rather than more polarized. And some of them are seeing less overall polarization, or polarization at a less dramatic rate. Mm-hmm. Whereas we're seeing it overall effective polarization at an incredibly dramatic rate. And that's polarization across, rich versus poor. That's polarization across ethnic boundaries. That's polarization across conservative versus liberal. It's polarization across many different factors.
And that polarization is leading branches of the government, different bureaus, different companies to inject political ideology where there really wasn't once a political ideology. And we've definitely seen that with the federal court system has become very right leaning.
Yeah.
Now it's become pretty much, if you don't like a law, find a sympathetic judge, go to that judge
and challenge it.
And it happens on the left and the right. And it depends on what district you go to, where you file something in, what federal district you go to. So it's all become so this polarized and politicized that it's impossible. And I think when you have a relationship like that, when you have a relationship coming on with that, you get these apps, like the app that conservative
Peter Thiel,
the right stuff. It's conservative.
Is it Thiel app. Or Thiel?
It could be German, so it could be Thiel.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Which is interesting that he funded this app. Of course, he's not a developer, but he's the money man behind The Right Stuff, which was a conservative dating app in 2022. It has not gone well because it's been a victim of trolling.
It has. And
there weren't a lot of women on it.
There were not. I don't know if it is the fact that more women are tending to go further left and men are trying to go further right, because we've seen some polls, Last Week Tonight talked about that for a little bit, when they were breaking down the Project 2025 and how they did a little subsection on a dating site where more women are becoming to the left, more men are to the right. So it's harder to meet in the middle to be unified. Mm. And when you have this divide, it's harder for people to see each other as people. I think a lot of people only see you as an R or a D, you know, and they don't want to look and say, why are you that way? They don't want to get to know you. I mean, one of the most famous political couples was James Carville. Oh, his wife's name's escaping me right now.
Well, you can look it up, but, you had Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver was a famously politically opposite couple.
She's a Kennedy, a regular Republican.
Right. And
Mary Madeline.
Yeah. There were more examples of couples that were, famous.
Lila and David Sears, this great couple out of Walker County, Alabama.
That aren't exactly politically aligned.
But I think the problem is we have gone so far online, so far on Twitter, so far, or X, whatever you want to call it, so far on Threads, so far on Facebook, that we polarize ourselves. We think that is real life. We don't really interact with people outside of our comfort group. I mean, I think you see more people willing to pull themselves off in an echo chamber than step out. I posted a meme on Facebook about don't lose a friendship over two men who do not know who you are. And it devolved into a shouting match where.
And I didn't comment.
You didn't. And I stayed out of it for the most part. But it's just people. You have to talk to other people. You're going to have people you disagree with. You cannot completely just cut them out of your life. You know, and I know they're trying to do that. And
I mean, there are obviously seen, some people you can cut out of your life, are.
But I think, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I think that, okay. There are relationships that aren't worth salvaging in order to maintain, that aren't worth salvaging at the risk of your personal integrity. Mm. And there are relationships that maybe are worth that. Okay. It depends on you. It depends on the person, other person. It depends on the relationship. Mm-hmm. It depends on who are you. And what does that other person believe that is so abhorrent to you that you cannot have a personal relationship with them anymore? And there are things that other people believe that makes me not able to have a relationship with them. I'm not going to have a relationship with a racist. I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm just not gonna.
What if it was someone who doesn't know they're racist? They were raised in the older generation. The N-word was just what you called black people. They didn't.
I mean, if they were open to trying to do better, mm-hmm. you know, and if they knew not to, you know, call somebody that to their face, and if they were not openly cruel to people and that kind of thing, like, you know, if they weren't cruel, if they were just ignorant, mm-hmm.
Because I think more people are ignorant than cruel. Honestly, right now, I think
ignorance. No, I think ignorance is rampant.
And I think that is where we're seeing a lot of stuff.
I do think that a lot of other people are cruel.
There are cruel people, but I think the number of ignorant people who aren't cruel outweigh the number of ignorant people who are cruel. I think there are more sweet and stupid people than there are mean and stupid people.
I think that's very optimistic.
I'm an optimist and you're a pessimist. So there we go.
Well, there we go.
But I mean, I've seen people like, don't make a, if you make a candidate your entire personality, you've lost me. And I would say, well, hating one candidate and posting everything against that candidate, you've made hating that candidate your personality. So you've pulled the Nietzsche. You've become what you sought to hate.
I would have to say that there's never been a presidential candidate who I was so enthused about that I absolutely fell all over and made it my social media persona or anything like that. I wasn't able to vote in a presidential election until 2004. It was the first.
You didn't vote in 2000?
Oh, no, you're right. 2000. 2000. Yeah. I was thinking about high school. 2000. So.
You would have missed the congressional election.
Yeah, I did in 98. 2000 was my first election. Which was, of course, just absolute chaos.
Well, you don't lick the dot. We learned that from
Al Gore. You don't lick the dot. But I voted for Al Gore, mm-hmm. but you know, Al Gore wasn't super exciting.
Part of why he lost.
Part of why he lost. But you know, and I've voted for every Democratic candidate that's come along since then.
I've voted mainly Republican or Libertarian. I did not like. I want to say 2016, I think it was Mike Johnson, because I didn't like Trump or Hillary.
Yeah.
I'm abstaining. I'm going to vote in the congressional races. I don't like any candidate for president. I'm abstaining from the presidential
race. Yeah, I mean, I'm... I'm going to see what happens.
I think you have a horrible, corrupt, senile man versus a horrible, corrupt, egotistical man. I think you've got two horrible people running for president. And it seems that's been what it's been basically
for a minute,
the past three elections. Because I will say, I respected Obama and I respected Mitt Romney. I proudly voted for Mitt Romney. I thought he would have made a good president.
I respected McCain. You know, I don't respect Donald Trump. I have a hard time with anybody who has been accused of sexual assault that many times. The cat is back on the computer.
It's still going.
Okay.
Kofi has decided he's going to be a part of this.
He's decided he is going to be a part of this podcast. He is like, this is too dangerous. This is a fraught conversation.
Well, I think it's important we have fraught conversations with people we disagree with.
Yeah.
I will say I have talked to some people that I strongly disagree with, but I talk to them and and I don't yell at them. I don't call them names. And I understand some people who are trans now. She's a trans woman now. She did not feel comfortable in high school living her authentic self. She didn't really find the way to live to her authentic self until after she'd been married and had two kids. Her wife still accepts her. She's an awesome person. I talked to her on Facebook. We messaged back and forth. I don't know if we were in high school now, if she'd even feel comfortable saying that, that she was trans. She still has some issues with people from.
Sorry, cat.
She still has some issues with people accepting her, and she gets some weird looks.
Sure.
But I mean, she's not hurting herself. She's living her true self. The only issue I have with trans people is I wish they'd wait till surgery till they were 21.
Yeah.
Or until they're a little older.
Yeah.
I wish they'd wait to start the hormones and stuff. But if that's who you, if you feel you were a woman, you do it. You feel you're a man, you do it. But I just don't think that you shouldn't start the surgeries until you're older.
Yeah.
And I will say the only other thing, trans women should not compete against cis women unless it's in a professional wrestling ring.
Well, and that's your opinion, and it's not gonna matter because you're not gonna compete against them because you're not a female athlete.
I'm not a female athlete, but I think it's unfair. But that's a whole that's a whole other can of
worms. Yeah.
Would you leave that alone? He's just taking the spray in.
He's just
Kofi is trying to disturb this. He's like, no, abort.
Yeah. But which is a whole other topic.
But that goes back to politics.
Yeah.
And my position has, as Barack Obama has said, has evolved on that. I think it's abhorrent. I wish we could get to a point where abortions were unnecessary, where we give proper sex education to kids. Abstinence only is a great idea in theory, but kids are hormonal. Doesn't
work.
Kids are hormonal. And I think we need to do a better job of neonatal care for mothers and prenatal. Was it prenatal or neonatal?
Well, prenatal.
Prenatal care for mothers and
neonatal babies. Means newborn.
Okay. And neonatal cares. We have a high infant mortality rate.
Yeah.
Part of that is because of the strict abortion laws where babies that probably aren't going to make it are birthed and then they don't live long.
So well, and
it's just tying this all back together to relationships. I think you have to be open to evolve. I think you have to be open to change. And I think we've seen so many people that are just stuck in their ways. 100% not going to change. You can't change my mind. And that's a problem.
Yeah. And you and I have talked about abortion a lot. We've talked about trans identity a lot. We've talked about the death penalty a lot, for example.
And I'm a pro-lifer all the way. When it comes, I think it is morally apprehensible
to reprehensible.
Reprehensible to be against abortion but for the death penalty. I think that's a hypocrite because pro-life means pro-life. Does not mean pro-life except for these guys. And I just think that too many people are so set and unwilling to listen to somebody else, and have an honest conversation without shouting at them.
Mm-hmm.
You and I, we've gotten heated, but we've never shouted at each other.
Yeah. And I think that having a relationship beforehand, before you talk about some of these things, kind of allows you to be more vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, trying to hash these things out in the beginning of a relationship, where you're not able to be as vulnerable, or not willing to be as vulnerable, or you don't feel safe being as vulnerable, is just not possible for a lot of people, because, you know, you can't open yourself up like that.
And again, we have the comfort of being in a relationship for 18 years.
Yeah. So a good relationship,
a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you get to that comfort if you don't even give it a chance, you know? Like, if you're just like, so he's a Trump voter, forget him, never going to talk to him. Or that's a Biden voter, or they posted a meme about why did the shooter miss? I'm not going to talk to them.
And just to say, because I don't want anybody to make any mistake, I don't agree with people saying, oh, why do you have to miss, that kind of thing. I do not condone political violence or any type of violence of any kind. I'm an anti-violence person. That is my whole job. That's my whole career, is anti-violence. And I do not condone violence of any kind. So, hey, people, stop shooting at other people, please.
And I think part of that are people want to be edgelords.
Sure.
You know, it's cool to hate on something that's popular. You know, you see.
Well,
a lot of
people, there's been an edgelord ever since there's been an internet, and there's been an edgelord ever since there's been writing. I mean, ever since there's been a cave wall to draw something on.
And there's some people who are inadvertently edgelords who are making fun of edgelords and become edgelords idols, like Tyler Durden. Or Homelander.
So, well, yeah.
They don't realize that those people are being used to make fun of people that are trying to be that way.
Well, they're used as anti-heroes, and they're used as, you know, examples of what not to do. And and yet people are like using them as, like, thinking of them as the hero of the story. No, no. Tyler Durden was never meant to be the good guy.
He was not. Homelander was never meant to be the good guy. And then
I don't know that anybody in any of Chuck Palahniuk's books are meant to be the good guy.
Well, the one that survived the death cult was a pretty good guy in Survivor.
Yeah.
Faked his own death.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
He faked his own death. He never wanted to be a part of it. And his brother was the other survivor that no one knew about that was committing all the murders and framing his brother for it.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, I forgot about Survivor. Survivor is probably my favorite one of his books.
It is my favorite, too.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Put into a movie.
Yeah. Well, they'd probably mess it up.
Yeah.
Somebody fund us. We'll make it.
Yeah. You know, what's really funny is he came very close to having the Colts Cardinals Super Bowl prediction come true.
Really?
Very close to that.
Really?
So.
Okay. Sorry.
But I mean, I think that's part of the problem we're seeing right now with the whole political system. It is so much an us versus them. As much as I despise Auburn, I have friends that are Auburn fans.
Sure.
I talk to them. I love them. I bought them Auburn merch. I bought my best friend's husband a Tennessee thing. I hate Tennessee. I despise Tennessee. They're ugly. They're nasty. They're low down. They stitches. All that. I despise Tennessee.
Yeah, I hate that.
But
orange.
I know that made him happy. So I did that for him for a Christmas present.
Sure.
You know, it hurt me. It physically hurt me to buy that obnoxious orange.
Made you nauseated. But
I think that's part of the problem. And we can be friends with rival teams, but we can't seem to be friends with people who have rival.
Well, and again, when you get into this type of political climate where it's not necessarily about the capital gains tax,
yeah,
and it's about humanity, it's about, you know, really, really big life or death, do I have equal rights or not, mm-hmm, issues, then it's very high stakes, mm, and it's to the point of, you know, somebody's own internal ethics. It's, can I ethically be your friend? Can I ethically count myself among, you know, somebody who is allied with you? Mm-hmm. Do I want to associate with somebody who has this as their stated purpose, yeah, in life? You know, and, you know, it's like, do you want to be friends with a Nazi? No, I don't. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to be friends with a Proud Boy. I'm not going to be friends with, you know, whatever. I'm just not.
You'd be friends with an Antifa person, though.
Maybe.
They're violent anarchists.
If they're not, no, that's not an anarchist. Anti-fascist.
Who've become anarchists, who burn stuff.
That's, it's not, oh God. Okay. We're getting off topic.
We are.
If somebody is just an anti-fascist, then yeah, yes, that's also what I am, is, yeah, an anti-fascist. But you know, you have to take into account that this is not the same political climate.
It is not.
This is not the same political climate that it was, you know, 15, 20 years ago.
It's not. And I think trust from both sides is gone with the government. Both sides don't like the way the system has been set up and has become the bureaucracy that a lot of the right wants to tear down. And then the activist judges that the left wants to tear down.
Well, both sides at this point sort of believe in the deep state.
Yeah.
Both sides at this point sort of believe that there's more going on than meets the eye, and that there's people who are quote unquote in control that we don't have any power over and that kind of thing. And it's different factions or different people for the different sides.
Well, we can both agree that it's definitely really wealthy people that are doing this.
Yeah, for sure.
Whether it's George Soros or the Koch brothers, there are some really rich people that are running the country.
Yeah,
it's not really the political.
There's some people anymore who are pulling some strings that, you know, like I was going to say earlier about corporate America. There's people who have power that you and I will never have.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, none of us trust.
Yeah.
And again, I've said it before, probably not on this podcast, but I've said it before in real life and I've said it before online and I'll say it now on the podcast. The only reason we don't have a class war is because they're keeping us in a culture war. They want us to have culture war so that we don't have class war.
Yeah. And I mean, you want a Bolshevik resolution?
Comrade.
But just made me think Battleship Potemkin.
No, you cannot say that line on this podcast. You absolutely, I forbid it. Soviet it is a montage. Red line.
All right. If you've ever seen Battleship Potemkin, there's a random moment, completely random. It's a Soviet montage silent film that I had never seen until I took the history of telecommunication and film class, or
motion picture history and criticism.
And it is a moment that when Lila taught it while we've been married, I was happy to be there one of the nights she showed it, and everyone's like, what? That what?
Everyone just sort of either like freezes, screams, shriek, like that. Just if you haven't seen it, it's a wildly kind of out of context moment in, you know, in our 2024. I don't know, in 2024 it might make sense. In 2007 it seemed very strange, but
it's just, I'm worried that we're going to keep getting more and more riled up from each side, and that we're going to see more acts of political violence. I mean, 1968 was a turning point for American history and civilization. When you look at the death of MLK, RFK Jr. would have beat Nixon. RFK Sr. would have beat Nixon. I 100% think that. But the turmoil after he died and the 1968 Chicago Democratic Convention, which was basically a big riot, and that led to Nixon getting elected in 68. And I think the political conventions are, again, both in the Midwest, Milwaukee for the Republicans, Chicago for the Democrats. Will history repeat itself? I think we're going to see more political violence. I think there'll be an idiot Trumper who's going to try something on Biden or Kamala. I think we're going to see people escalate. And I don't know how to de-escalate.
RFK Jr.'s brain worm jumps up with a sniper rifle.
Why can't he have like the brain worms from Futurama that make you smarter and more athletic? He's probably got the brain worm.
I'd forgotten about it.
He's got the brain worm from Next Generation, you know? We're going to have to shoot him with a phaser and there'll be this little worm hanging out his head.
I don't know. We've made too many Star Trek references there already.
There are never enough Star Trek references. I'm a Trekkie and a Star Wars fan. It's possible.
Yeah, it is. I think that... I think that we're probably going to see some more political violence. I don't know that this guy, who took a shot at Trump was actually politically motivated. I think he was motivated to commit suicide by cop. I think that he wanted to go out in a blaze of glory. I think it was sort of a Klebold and Harris situation where he was, you know, planning on everybody's going to know my name kind of thing when I go out. I mean, that's kind of what it looks like to me at this point. I don't know, not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, so take that for the BS that it is. But, you know, so far there's not been any evidence of a political motivation.
The only thing they found so far is he donated to
$15 couple years ago
to a Biden PAC, and he was a registered Republican. It's so weird. It has no social media manifesto, no nothing, which, you know, normally these people that do this stuff,
they're going to have something.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it. It just doesn't ring.
I'm not saying this is a Trump conspiracy theory to garner sympathy. I'm not saying this is the deep state trying to kill Trump. So I think it's a lone gunman who's just a nut.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had a
lone gunman.
No, it's not them because they're dead, unfortunately.
Oh, X-Files spoiler.
Spoiler alert if you haven't watched the X-Files. But I don't know what a unifier would be, you know?
We need a unificator.
We need a unificator. I just don't know who that person would be other than Dave Grohl, you know,
Dave and Dolly
would be a great
Dave Grohl, Dolly Parton and Dave Grohl is a ticket that I can get behind. You know,
and I just don't know.
Libraries and rock and roll.
There you go.
And barbecue.
Heck yeah.
I think that's
a great platform. I'm voting for it. I'm writing in Dave Grohl and Dolly Parton 2024.
Dolly for president, though. We need Dave to get in the Senate. shake things
dudes,
up.
Dudes, let's go smoke a J. Come on.
Let's go do a J. Have a shot. Let's do some shots. We'll come back. We'll rock this thing out. We're going to get some work done.
Yeah.
I think it's a perfectly reasonable hope for the future right there.
It would be.
And Dolly, I think, would be wonderful on the international stage.
She would
be. She already has performed on many international stages.
She's a good down-to-earth woman.
Yeah.
So.
I think that, you know what, though? I think that's what we need in a candidate at this point. I think that...
That was me.
if we could have a candidate.
I had hopes for RFK Jr. I really did.
Sorry. I'm really sorry about what all that was. That evolved
quickly.
I'm really sorry that he turned out to be
a nut.
Everything that he turned out to be, and definitely not his father in any shape, form, or fashion. In name only.
Yeah. And I don't know.
But we need somebody who is down to earth. We need somebody who isn't, you know, part of the machine, who isn't.
But that's part of the problem.
You have to be part of the machine.
Because we saw that with Carter. I think Carter had the greatest intentions.
Oh, he was such an outsider. I love that man.
He was such an outsider that he wasn't able to get anything done. Which led.
No, I know.
So I think Carter. You have to be a little bit in the machine, but you can't be completely ingrained in the machine.
No, I know. And I have said many times, I think he was too good a person to be president effectively. Uh-huh. Because, you know, he spent the rest of his life just doing good work.
Mm-hmm. Habitat for Humanity.
I know. And work trying to solve peace in the Middle East and stuff, which was even over his head. Yeah. So I don't know. But
I don't know if we could get someone who would be able to unite the country. I don't know if the chasm can ever be scaled. We could reduce it. It seems like it's just eroded and eroded and keep continually erodes. And you get crazier and crazier people for both sides in Congress.
And I think that's where you see more of the divide is where you do have somewhere where a more extreme.
You got AOC versus MGT.
Personality can be elected. Yeah, because, you know, you can have somebody like a Marjorie Taylor Greene who is able to be elected somewhere who is, well, she's, this person is certifiable. I mean,
but she did help us. Whew. She did figure out who was causing a lot of the fires. Jewish space lasers.
I mean, the space lasers are, you know, scary.
They are.
I mean, come on, people. We can do better. Well, here's the thing, though. There's 300 million people in this country. We could do better than this. And that's the thing, is you want your two people who are running for president to be your two best options out of everybody in the country. This is not our two best options.
These are not.
This is not even remotely close to the two people who should be competing to run our country.
And a part of the problem
be the executive officer of our country. Shout out
Ryan McGough, and I don't know if you're listening or not, but we've talked about this.
Ryan.
We've talked about how the Constitution can be amended, but it's a very difficult process. And we hold it so sacrosanct.
Thank God, because Ryan and I can both vote.
True. But people hold the Constitution so sacrosanct that they don't see some of the flaws in it.
Yeah.
And
it is flawed.
There are flaws in it. But I think we have a minimum age requirement for all political offices, except for Supreme Court. And why can't we have a maximum? We don't need Nancy
Pelosi. Well, in Alabama, there's a maximum.
There is. It keeps getting switched around, though.
Well, in Alabama, there's a maximum age for the judicial offices. There's a maximum age for judges in Alabama. There's a mandatory retirement age for judges in Alabama.
So we've got stuff to work on, but people see it as infallible and don't want to change it. And there are some things that do need to be changed. We need a maximum age. We need to codify some certain rights in the Constitution. We need to codify the right for people to get help from the government. I think the government needs to be able to help people. I think we need to get rid of some of the bureaucracy.
Yeah, I think that...
I mean, there are some issues where... there are some issues where the government gets so bogged down in red tape. Bill Maher did a beautiful piece about why we can't get a high-speed rail. It's because anytime you try to get a survey done to build the rail, you have to go through the EPA, and then you have to go through some other agencies, and that whole process can take 5 years before you even got an approval or a vote on to do the program. So we've got, but I also understand you have to have the checks and balances because you don't want to just, hey, you know what? Let's dump all these chemicals into the water. So it's a fine line. It's a moderate line you have to walk, a fine line, and it's difficult. And I don't think people have the patience for it, but we've gone so far off topic on relationships.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The biggest thing you have to have in a relationship is respect for the other person.
Yeah.
Love will carry you through a lot of stuff. Because there'll be sometimes you don't respect your partner because they do something stupid, but you love them anyways, you stick with them. But I think you have to have respect and love. And if you don't come at a problem with respect and love, your relationship's doomed to fail.
Yeah. And I don't think that there should ever be a time when you don't have at least a modicum of respect for your partner. I mean, at least enough respect that you're going to treat them as well as you would a stranger, you know, treat them like a human being, treat them like, you know, like you would anybody. If you're coming at it with love and with understanding, trying to understand, trying to have empathy, trying to make the best of it, you know, really coming at it from the perspective of, I want to know, and I want to understand, then I think, you know, you'll do the best you can. You're not always going to be successful, though.
You're not.
And when, you know,
you'll have some issues where you never understand why a person thinks the way they think.
That's true.
You will, some things you will have to let it go. Pull an Elsa and let it go. Cause you just, you know what? We're going to have to agree to disagree. No, that's a third rail topic. Just don't bring it up.
Yeah.
And don't go trying to pick a fight about that either.
And some people can do that and some people can't.
Yeah.
And you know, if you can't, then it's okay to not be with somebody. Mm-hmm. Even if you love them, if you can't live with that, then that's okay. That's okay. Because you gotta be able to live with yourself at the end of the day.
You got any red flag, green flags for this?
I don't, because holy cow, we have taken up this whole hour.
We have. And I think my cat is rubbing the microphone now.
Georgie has a comment.
Georgie is
our elder statesman.
He's purring and marking the microphone as his now.
Georgie wants you to know that you should love cats and you should
feed them pate.
You should be kind to cats, and that cats are apolitical and dogs are too.
But cats are better than dogs.
He says that as a cat person.
No, that was Georgie.
Oh, sorry. That was Georgie. Georgie says cats are better than dogs. Yes. Hi, son.
I just think that people want communication. They want connection. They want that deep connection, and they want to feel they can trust their partner. And they a lot of people want that connection and trust immediately. You know, I think they want to be able to be that vulnerable with them. Mm-hmm. They don't want to. It's the microwave society. I want to jump right in, have everything, mm-hmm. and not understanding that it takes years of work. It takes some disagreements. Mm-hmm. It takes some long nights talking till 2 a.m. about stuff. And I think that's part of what we're seeing mm-hmm. with, well, if this one issue we disagree on, then we're going to disagree on everything. So he's not my soulmate or she's mm-hmm. not my soulmate. But you have to understand, you never truly get to know everything about a person.
Yeah, we're still learning things about each other. Yeah.
Like, for instance, I didn't know you couldn't use plastic silverware. Never knew that.
It's not silverware.
Silverware, it's plastic.
It's plastic flatware.
You too good?
Snob. I don't like it.
It serves its purpose. Anyway, but what I'm saying is, you're never going to get the deep level of connection you want unless you start. And it's a continual process. You cannot just cut someone off because they may think differently than you. Now, we've gotten back. If they're disrespectful for you, don't think you have any rights as a woman or as a gay man, which would be really weird if you were self-hating gay, but
it still, happens.
It happens. But I'm just saying, I think you have to have respect for your partner and you have to be willing to put in the work.
Mm-hmm.
And there will always be difficult topics. There will always be difficult things you disagree on. But if you're already married, you made commitment for better, for worse. You got to work on it. You know, there is a point you can mm-hmm. walk away, but for the most part, you got to give it everything you can. So you walk away.
And it's okay to need a mediator.
Yeah. Therapy is awesome. Couples therapy is there for a reason. Find a licensed therapist that's a counselor for men and women mm-hmm. in marriage. Do it. There are plenty of great ones.
Get a licensed therapist.
Get a licensed therapist. Licensed. Very important. That means they've gone to school
and passed exams. To be a therapist.
And passed exams. As the disclaimer says at the beginning of the show, Lila and I are not licensed therapists. We're just
we're not couple. Any type of therapist or counselors or anything.
We're just a married couple that have a podcast. But the Dr. Linsky red flag, green flag. We'll return next week. We'll have a what do they call it? Easy fit episode next week.
No, relaxed fit.
Relaxed fit.
We'll we can call ours easy fit.
We'll call ours easy fit. We'll call ours a Spanx episode.
No, that's a tight. That's tight. You're keeping it tight when you're wearing Spanx.
Okay. Meat pants.
You're wearing the meat pants. The Joey Tribbiani meat pants. The
Joey Tribbiani meat pants episode.
Yeah.
So we'll have an easier one, more fun one. We've got a big list of topics. Thank you for listening. If you want to follow us on social media, I am at David Sears 1982 and at David Sears 1982 on Instagram. And Threads, David Sears 75 on Twitter. Lila.
I am Lila Gale 80 on Instagram and Threads, and Lila G Cat Mama on TikTok.
I think the catchphrase is very important this week. People, don't let two men who will never know you, who probably don't even know you exist, ruin your life.
No. Be kind to yourself and to your partner.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.